We're joined now by Madeline Bernstein. She's president of the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, Los Angeles. And her book is about a topic that some people may be aware of. Others will become aware in our conversation with her. Designer Dogs Inside the Criminal Underworld of Crossbreeding. Puggles, Schnoodles, Cockapoos, Green-Eyed Golden Doodles, Purse-Sized Pomeranians. They're cutesy brand names and a unique mix of captivating traits, but these custom-bred dogs have become all the rage. What in the world is going on with designer dogs? Madeline Bernstein.
Hi. So, that's the question. Okay. Well, what's going on is that almost like drug trafficking, the epidemic for these custom and intentional mutts, because you cannot have a purebred Labradoodle. They're all mutts, have just exploded worldwide, and they've become very lucrative, and they're being smuggled, transported, crossbred. People are being conned, and so it's just become an epidemic pretty much since the Labradoodle first became popular, which is in the 80s.
Now, you have a connection to Hurricanes Katrina and Rita in Louisiana. What happened?
Correct.
What happened with animals during those disasters?
So that's interesting. So two things happen, good things and bad things. I mean, first of all, a lot of animals that were out didn't survive Katrina. Organized rescue efforts to try to save those dogs and then reunite them with the people that lost them during the hurricane were the positive outcomes. The negative outcomes was that there was a lot of uncontrolled activity and chaos there, where some dogs were removed by non-legitimate rescue organizations or, non-legitimate or state-sanctioned helpers, and were taken to other states, adopted out, and no effort was made for reunification. So at SPCA LA, we had our we have an elite disaster response team that can go all over, and I've sent people as far as Sri Lanka, to assist. And so they were there in the actual rescue of the pets, and also, people that needed extra help, too, and cared for the pets at, various stations so that they could be found by their people. And also, our organization received an airlift on a giant plane of a lot of dogs that just needed to get out because the holding areas were at maximum capacity. And so we were able to make those well, scan right for chips, put them up on the website, and then unite them with people who had lost them. We had one person who came out from Louisiana with her daughter, who found both her dog on the website and her father on the website. So it was, really kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And basically she came out with just the clothes that they gave her in the shelter. And, we gave her, her dog all cleaned up, vaccinated, healthy. We got tickets to Disneyland and Universal for them and got a hotel for them. and that's what we tried to do. So that's, really how it should be done.
On the designer dog issue, you have one yourself, and you note there's this craze for designer dogs, and you have some concerns.
Well, right. I mean, I have, what I call the original designer dog. I have a big yellow dog that's, part retriever, part lab, part chow. And the shelter dogs are the original designer dogs. They're completely unique. There are no two of a kind. They're as custom built as custom built without, any artificial manipulation. And my other dog, the white Pomeranian, was in our shelter. So here's another tip. Very often the dog you're looking for might be in the shelter, and you might pay $100 or zero as opposed to $3,000 or $10,000, right? So we just had some French bulldogs, for example, that went for a regular adoption fee, which was $125. I mean, you're not going to get a French bulldog off the internet or from anywhere for that, for under $3,000 to $5,000. So a white Pomeranian was picked up. She was on the streets. We don't know why she was on the streets or why she's abandoned, but it's very common with these high-end dogs because they come with so many defects. Now, there may be some of you listening who have gone to ethical breeders who have some of these dogs and love them to death. This is, you know, as a dog lover, you should spread the word about the other side of the story. But she was just a mess. She weighed a pound and a half. She had open wounds. She was had anemia. She had infections. She was completely flea-ridden. And once we finally got her, you know, up to health, then it was clear she began to exhibit some of the typical things that an overbred, an inbred Pomeranian would have. She has a knee that dislocates by itself, that she's learned how to pop back in by herself.
Wow.
She's subject to seizures. She has the collapsed, you know, trachea situation. She's a little bit OCD. And so, you know, I'm lucky in that she requires, you know, extra care, but she's not debilitated, you know, where you're basically taking care of, you know, a disabled dog to some extent, because a lot of these things don't come out for a while. So my concern is, look, the book is not, you know, a horrifying book. I try to keep it light. I tell stories. There's some history, but primarily it's how we stop this epidemic from happening. Anyone who loves pets, who knows someone who's interested in pets, I guarantee you, if they knew the journey that these dogs took, you know, to get your golden doodle, the puppy mill for the golden, the puppy mill for the doodle, the waste that goes into producing one. Sometimes they're coming in from outside the United States, a 30-hour plane flight, then sitting in cargo, and some of the babies are underage and they don't, you know, you have some that survive the plane, some that don't, all to get to somebody's purse. If you knew that, I don't think you would do that.
The book is Designer Dogs, an Exposé Inside the Criminal World of Crossbreeding, from Madeline Bernstein, who's president of the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, Los Angeles. Thanks for joining us today. Back tomorrow. Stay tuned.